So we're continuing reading from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vyas Vrindavan Das Thakur. And yesterday we were hearing how Lord Chaitanya was recounting the previous lives and activities of some of his associates like Srivas Thakur and Gangadas. And of course Lord Chaitanya wasn't visibly there during these episodes in the lives of his devotees, but actually he was there in a different form, because the Lord can take any form at any time and any place to protect his devotees. When Prahlad Maharaj was protected by the Lord, he was simply meditating on the Lord Vishnu, and the Lord appeared as Nrisimhadev, half man half lion, Narahari, from a column to protect his devotee. So in the case of Gangadas, for example, the Yavanas, or the Muslim Qazi, he was on some rage of hatred to harass all the Brahmins in Navadvipa, and burning their houses and even killing them in some cases, or trying to convert them. So Gangadas, in the middle of the night, he took all of his family and he ran to the Ganga. His name was Gangadas. And he got to the Ganga, it was late at night and there were no boats there. And he was quite frantic and worried. What will happen? Soon the Qazi will come up, he'll find that I'm not in my house, I vacated my house. He'll come searching for us, and he'll either convert me to Mohammedanism, he'll sprinkle some water on me, and I'll lose my caste. He was worrying that he might lose his caste as a Brahmin, Gangadas Pandit, Brahmin caste. Or he worried that maybe his family would be defiled or disgraced. So he was in great tension. There were no boatmen to be seen. It was late at night. They were all home sleeping. And all of a sudden a boatman came out of nowhere and carried them. So Lord Chaitanya narrated this whole incident. He said, remember, Gangadas, that late at night that boatman came out of nowhere at 1 o'clock in the morning and saved you and ferried you to safety on the other side of the Ganga? That was me. Lord Chaitanya said, that was me. I came in that way. So this was, we're hearing this particular description. And then the devotees, because at this time the whole incident is going on for 21 hours. Lord Chaitanya is sitting on the Vyasasan, which is a very unusual place to sit. Usually the sannyasi or the Brahmin speaker, he sits on the Vyasasan, not the Singhasan. Singhasan is where the Lord sits, his throne. The deity throne. So in Srivas Pandit's house, of course he had a temple room, like Jagannath Mishra. Pandits always have a temple room, generally. And so he had so many Shalagram Shilas on the altar, and he also had deities of Lakshmi Narayan. And Lord Chaitanya went up there and sat on the deity's throne we were describing yesterday. And so he assumed, at that time, he assumed the mood of Bhagavan. The mood of Bhagavan. He was no longer the pandit and the friend and the associate, but he was actually in the mood of Bhagavan. So then devotees started worshipping him accordingly, with 16 upacharas or 16 articles of puja. And so now, then, in the middle of that, because it's 21 hours continuously, he sat there. In the middle of all of that, then Lord Chaitanya started explaining how more about his godhood. Not only is he displaying himself on the altar and showing different aspects of Bhagavan, but he's saying, yes, I came, I saved you like this, and I saved you like that. So now at this juncture, the devotees are worshipping him again. And we heard, Tambula Joghayakon Atipriya Britya Keha Bhame Kehava Samuke Kare Nritya. Another beloved servant offered Mahaprabhu betel nuts, while some danced on his left and some danced before him. We already discussed a couple of days ago, or yesterday rather. And another time they offered him betel nuts because now he's acting as Bhagavan. When Lord Chaitanya was acting as a devotee, then he would refrain. He would refrain from eating betel nuts, and of course advised us not to eat either. Or either, whatever. And betel nuts are pan, what we call pan, which is quite popular in India. Everywhere everyone's eating these packets of pan. There's littering the entire landscape of India. Everywhere. You go to the highest place in the Himalayas, you find these little aluminum packs where they ripped them open, Chudapan. I seen in Badrinath. I went walking at Badrinath up in the mountains. It's not really, it's like foothills of the Himalayas, 3,000 meters. Very far on the side, you find these packets of pond packets. It's quite a passion. Emata sakala divasapurna haila, sandhyasi parama kotuke pravashila. In this way they passed the whole day. As evening arrived, everyone became most jubilant. Dupa dipa laiya sakala bhaktagan archana karite lagi lena sri charan. All the devotees worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet, lotus feet, with incense and lamps. Shankha ghanta karatal mandira mridanga bhajayena bahuvida utena naranga. The sound of conches, bells, kartals, wampers, and mridangas produced an enchanting atmosphere. Utte Nanaranga, a very joyful, delightful, playful atmosphere. Amayaya Vasiya Achena Gora Chandra Kichu Nahi Bale Jata Kare Bhakta Brinda. As Gora Chandra sat in his full glory, he did not say anything about the devotees' activities. In other words, he didn't say, no, because other times, it's interesting, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, depending on what he's trying to teach or what he is trying to show or exemplify. And other times when the devotees, they start speaking to him, saying, oh, you are the Lord. Why are you serving us? Why are you carrying our dhotis? Why are you folding our clothes and rendering humble service? So, you're actually the Lord. You are a worshipable Lord. And he said, I'm the bhakta. I'm the bhakta. Das, 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 das. He would block his ears. So in some, we see some pastimes where he's completely denying the fact that he's Bhagavan. That, no, I'm like you, I'm also a Das. I'm Krishna Das, I'm simply a servant of the Lord. Nothing more, nothing less. Das and a Das and a Das. But now, the devotees are recognizing they're recognizing his supremacy. Because in an earlier class, which none of you have heard, but we're continuing these classes in different locations. A few days ago in an earlier class in Vrindavan, we were hearing how the devotees were offering prayers, different prayers, a series of prayers in this chapter from Madhya Kanda, Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 9. One devotee after another was offering prayers. You are Narayan, you are Nisringa, they were recognizing, understanding, you are the Sarva Avatari. You are the source of all the Leela avatars and Das avatars. Meena, the fish avatar and Korma. So they were already understanding. Everyone was collectively understanding in that gathering in Srivast Thakur's house, which numbered about 200 devotees, all very confidential, intimate devotees. They were recognizing, yes, our Nimai Pandit, our class friend, he was a class school friend of many of them, and our contemporary, our fellow Navadvip Vasi, the Brahmin community, he's actually Bhagavan. God is walking amongst us. God is amongst us. It's very interesting. It almost sounds parallel to the Bible, at least the New Testament with Jesus, that at one moment he was one of them, and the next moment they said, oh, he's God. And he said, no, God is the Father. I am the Son of God. And his followers, they had different opinions. And of course, nowadays, modern Christians, they often propagate that Jesus is God. They say that. Jesus is God. Not godly or godlike or not a pure representative of God or a Kripa Shakti Murti of God. But he is God. And so they kind of expanded his preeminence by advertising like this. But he himself always said, I and the Father are one. Well, that's a fact. My mom showed Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are parts of God. We are also minute eternal consciousness, Satchidananda. We are minute and we are Vibhu. We are Anu and Krishna is Vibhu. He's great, vast, and we are a small particle of the vast consciousness. He is a vast, unlimited individual consciousness with his own individual form and abode. And we also are part. We have our own individual abode, spiritual abode and spiritual form. It's very interesting looking out this window of this classroom. It seems like people are coming up from the hellish regions. They're coming up the stairs as if they're coming from the underworld, and we're all floating on some cloud, this white cloud. We've all been saved, because you're sitting here, first you see a person's head come up to the window, then the shoulders, and it's a very macabre view. You look out and see someone, and then the full form manifests. So it's a fact, as Jesus said, we're made, and man is made in the image of God. So the devotees here are realizing, yes, we thought you were a bhakta like us, but now we realize that you in fact are Bhagavan. So the Lord Chaitanya is not saying stop. At this juncture in time, he's not saying stop, don't worship me. Don't treat me like Bhagavan, offer me betel nuts and puja and archan and all artik and all these prayers and pratana and artik. I'm accepting it all. Now I'm Bhagavan. And you're all my dasas, you're all my servants, and I'm accepting it. He's not stopping them and not saying Vishnu, Vishnu, or don't ever say this. Nana vira pushpa sabe para padmediya chahi prabhu bhali pade dandavatahana. The devotees offered various flowers at his lotus feet, and then offered obeisances while saying chahi prabhu. Balipare, O Lord, please protect us. This is a standard modus operandi. That when someone, especially when the demigods, you see throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, whenever the demigods are offering prayers or they're in difficulty, and Lord Vishnu or one of his various avatars appears before the demigods, or they go to petition the help of the Lord, then they assemble before the Lord and they offer so many prayers. The demigods, when they're offering prayers, they say, my Lord, you're so great, you're this, you're that. And then after the last thing is the bottom line, as we say, they say, oh, by the way, please protect us. Their prayers always end up like this. Please protect us. Oh God, be our order supplier. As Prabhupada often, he takes issue with the Christians. They don't approach God to serve God and be the order supplier of God, or fulfill his orders or desires. They try to enlist God as their humble servant. And sometimes we make a joke that we say, we have this mantra we chant, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And Srila Prabhupada gave us a translation. It's called Mantra Artha Chintata. Mantra Arth. Arth means the valuable object, something worthy, venerable. Something desirable is art, and unart means something undesirable, something we don't want, which is against our benefit, unbeneficial, deleterious or harmful. So then Prabhupada said that this we should think or meditate, O Mother Hara, O energy of the Lord, O Srimati Radharani, please engage me in the service of Krishna. I think everyone's familiar with this statement of Srila Prabhupada. And he said, O Hara, which in the vocative, when you're calling out, like we say Lalita Sakhi, but if we were to call Lalita, we would say Lalite, or Radha. We don't say Radha, we say Radhe, Radhe. It's an E on the end, the A becomes E. Vishake, we say Vishaka, when you say Vishake, O Vishake. Well, this is interesting, next verse. Keha Kaku Kare keha kare jaya dhwani chatur dige ananda krandan matra shuni. Some devotees spoke with humility and someone offered praises to the Lord. Only the sound of ecstatic crying was heard in the four directions. So that was a premonition. These ecstatic crying children. So the chatur dige ananda krandan. So we can understand this word krandan means crying. So crying has different categories. There's anand. Ananda krandan means blissful crying. It's like saying, because generally crying is associated with distress or unhappiness or disappointment. Then one cries out of lamentation or being bereaved or separated from a loved one or whatever. They cry. But there's also crying out of joy, which is more rare. So this is not only joy but ananda. They were in bliss. Everyone was actually relishing the godhood of Lord Chaitanya. All of the devotees, they were waiting for this moment, because it's predicted in the shastras. And Advaitacharya and Srivast Thakur and all the other, they're pundits. Practically all Lord Chaitanya's associates, intimate associates, are pundits. Gangadas Pandit, Jagannanda Pandit, Srivast Pandit. They're all pundits and acharyas. They're all Brahmins. They're well versed in Itihas and Puran and Shruti Smriti Prashtan. So they know about the Channa Avatar for Kali Yuga. It's predicted in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, the Channa Avatar, the hidden avatar. And they know that in Kali Yuga, that, and even it's said in some places that he will descend as the son of Sachinandan. It's said, the Lord in Kali Yuga will appear as the son of Mother Sachi. So they know this. They knew this 500 years ago. It's not that only we know it. What do we know compared to the Vaitacharya and Srivast Thakur and these other... Srivast is a pundit. So they understood, many of them understood, that this Nimai pundit who was absorbed in his scholastic leela, the proud scholar, the boy genius, that he would soon reveal his godhood. They were waiting. They were eager and anxious. When will the day come? So now the day is coming and he's revealing his godhood, Bhagavatva. And they're reveling in the revelation. They're enjoying it. They're really relishing. Oh, we've been waiting for this. We've been waiting 20 years. Now Lord Chaitanya is about 20 years old. 21, around 20. We've been waiting 20 years till you would grow up. You finally grew up. You grew out of your ego. You grew out of your pride. The proud scholar, Digvijaya. I defeated Kashmiri Pandit. In a humble way, a sweet way. An endearing way, but nevertheless, if you defeat the champion, then who are you? You're the new champion. You're the new Digvijay. So that Nimai was, and Navadvip became glorious with that victory over the Kashmiri Pandit, and of course, the victor became glorious. Navadvip became famous and glorious, and Navadvip Chandra, Nimai Pandit, became even more glorious and famous throughout India. Because at that time, 500 years ago, Navadvip was the capital of Naya. Just like Las Vegas is the capital of sin in America, Las Vegas. It's one of the four pilgrimage places for materialists. If you want to get liberation, you have to visit four pilgrimage places. Las Vegas, Disney World, Paris, and New York. In the old days, our grandparents would tell us, if you see the Char Dham, Badrinath, Rameshwaram, Dwarka Dham, and Jagannath Puri. If you see these, if you have darshan of these Char Dham in one lifetime, then you'll get mukti prapti. So now the Char Dham is something different. The capital of sin, Las Vegas. Kali lives there and abounds there. So the capital of Naya, the capital of learning, for all of India 500 years ago, which we may not know because we don't know maybe so much history, but it is a fact, an objective fact. It's not a subjective ISKCON fact or Gaudiya fact. It's actually a historical fact that Nadia district, and specifically Navadvip, not really Mayapur, but Navadvip area, Nadia, was the capital of Naya. Anyone who wanted to learn Naya or logic would have to come there. And the scholars of Navadvip were famous. So all the scholars from India, if they want to establish their prestige and fame in the field of Naya, either they would come here to learn to Navadvip or they would come here to challenge. Because Navadvip was famous, these are the best logicians, the best pundits of Naya. And of course, Naya, Vyakaran, Itihas, Jyotish, the other subject matters. But especially Naya. So if you were from South India, from Udupi or Srirangam or anywhere, Benares, and you were famous there, but you couldn't really claim fame to your pandithood or your ability and knowledge until you journeyed on a yatra to Nadia and tangled with the scholars there. And if you came out without any scratches, and you're actually successful, then when you went back to Benares, oh, you went to Navadvip? Yes. And I Veni, Vedi, Viki. Veni, Vedi, like Caesar says, Veni, Vedi, Viki. I came, I saw, and I conquered. So I came, they say like that. We went, I went there, I met Madhusudan Vachaspati. I met this one, that one. Really? And you won or you lost? Well, I met him. I can say I met him, but I didn't tangle with him. So this Nimai Pandit, he was coming from this atmosphere. So that is why the Kashmiri Pandit, his name was Keshav Pandit. That is why he went from Kashmir down to Navadvip. He wasn't going for a ride on the Ganga or to swim with the porpoises. He wanted to meet, because he said, "Oh, I'm Digvijay. I'm famous in the four directions, but I have yet to conquer this place. This will be the feather in my cap, as they say, the mukutmani, vidya mukutmani, the jewel and the crown of knowledge, vidya mukutmani, would be gained by being victorious in Nadia." So he went there. And the procession is described. Did you ever read about the procession of Kashmiri Pandit? You know, he went with elephants. You know, the guy, it wasn't some small timer with a laptop in his pocket. He's not a small timer with a laptop in his shoulder bag. He came with so many elephants and so many pundits and so many virgin girls carrying water pots in their heads. It was a huge, huge procession. Here he... Boom, boom, boom. Procession. Big noise. Boom, boom, boom. Right? Because in those days, knowledge was respected. Knowledge was appreciated, especially in India. Bharat Varsha. Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. There's an organization in Bombay and around India, Delhi also. Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. And they interviewed Srila Prabhupada in 1975. They sent a group of questions to him. And then that later became a book, which has changed its title over the years, Civilization and Transcendence. Very small paperback book. And all kinds of nice questions. "Well, Srila Prabhupada, do you think we should revive the ancient caste system of India?" And all these type of questions. Right? "Many people in India are devout demigod worshippers. Should they continue to worship demigods? Or what is your suggestion for them?" It's very relevant and very good book. I often give it to my, suggest new students of ours to read it. Indian students, because it's quite, quote unquote, Indian type of things. It's very good. So now, the pandit has become God. Everyone's happy and they're crying in the four directions. Kiyat bhuta sukahaila nisara pravesh. Ye aisa sena yena vaikunta pravesh. What wonderful happiness arose as night fell. Whoever came there felt like they were entering Vaikuntha. So this is all called Aishwarya Mahi. This pastime, this Aishwarya Mahi Leela and Madhurya Mahi Leela. So in this Leela, Lord Chaitanya, he's manifesting his Godhood, but not his Godhood in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is Krishna's also God. And of course, he acts like a Nara Leela, Madhurya Leela, very sweet, intimate, human-like. And sometimes he kills some very vast, ferocious, and fierce demons, but that's only done by the Vishnu within him, the Vaikunthanath within him. This display of power, grandeur, opulence, that Vaikuntha aspect of himself comes out and kills Putin or Agasura or Bakasura. And he's just a tender boy playing with his friends, romping, playing, dancing, singing, swimming, splashing, stealing butter and yogurt. So here, when Lord Chaitanya, that intimate pundit, friend of everyone, the leader, the inaugurator of the Sankirtan movement, when he's showing his Godhood, he's in the mood of Vaikuntha, Vaikunthanath. And that was mentioned earlier also. And that's why it's saying that the mood, the atmosphere of Vaikuntha appeared there. That sounds very strange. Because they're in Mayapur. Srivasangam, this is taking place in Srivas Thakur's house and his mandir. And then Navadvip Mayapur, this is Gupta Vrindavan, this is Vrindavan. This is Audarya Vrindavan and Madhurya Vrindavan. Because when Lord Chaitanya is in Mayapur, he's remembering Radha and Krishna Leela and distributing Radha and Krishna Leela from Mayapur, from Navadvip. It's not a separate, it's like two sides of one coin. One coin is two sides, Audarya, Madhurya, Braja Leela, then Gaur Leela. Braja Leela, it's a Leela for itself, by itself, relishing themselves within Radha and Krishna, relishing each other's service, happiness, love. With each other and for each other. contained within themselves. But when they absorb themselves into each other's identity, then they distribute to others. Then that becomes Mahaprabhu.
Prabhura haila maha aishvarya prakash njoda haste samukhe rahila sarvadas.
In this way, the Lord, Mahaprabhu, manifested his supreme opulences. Maha aishvarya prakash. Sound familiar? Aishvarya. This is Aishvarya, Vaikuntha Leela. Maha aishvarya prakash. This is all Aishvarya. Big puja, big manifestation, big pratana, big prayers.
Jodahaste sammuke rahila sarvadas.
And all his servants stood before him with folded hands. Dasosmi. Dasosmi. I am your servant. So this is Vaikuntha Bhav. But in Brajabhav, you never see Sri Dham and Subal. Oh, Krishna. Good morning. Hey, Krishna, get up, you're late. We're waiting for you. Hey! The sun is rising, you stupid. Let's go. We know what you did last night. Come on. No excuses. Rise and shine.
Bhaktange Angadiya Parapadma Meli Lilaya Achena Ghora Singha Kutuhali.
The lion-like Ghora Singha happily enjoyed his pastimes while extending his feet and touching the bodies of the devotees. So this is quite interesting.
Bhaktange Angadiya Dia Parapadma Meli.
As you know, oftentimes in Chaitanya Leela, Nityananda tries to touch Chaitanya's feet, or Advaita tries to touch Nityananda's feet, and they're wrestling, and, no, don't touch my feet, no, don't. It's considered, oh, that's a very low part of my body, because every devotee feels very humble, oh, please don't touch my feet. But out of humility, we want the dust, kripakaro, I want the dust of your feet. No, and we run away. So Lord Chaitanya was the same way, very shy and very conservative. And not wanting to take some proud position. Yes, touch the dust to my feet. I'm big Mahant, big Jagat Guru. No ego there. Amani na amani dena kirtaniya sadahari. Amani means no ego, no pride, dignity. I am something special. No, we're all the same. So here, it's quite the contrary. And it's Maha Aishwarya Prakash Leela. And his mood of Bhagavan, and Bhagavan is, doors are open. Mercy wholesale. He's extending his feet. Here, Pradaya, Kripa Pradaya, take the mercy. Touch my feet. How fortunate one could be. Lord Chaitanya is extending his feet to us. Extending his feet. And then it said, and touching the bodies of the devotees.
Varan mukha hayelena shri gora sundar jodha haste rahilena sabanuchar.
As Sri Gora Sundar was about to give benedictions, all of his followers stood before him with folded hands. So it's very much, this is the Bhagavan aspect of puja, prayers, puja, archan, kirtan, submission, then, oh, by the way, can I have a benediction? So he's ready. The Lord is ready, because this is the dessert. This is the usual progression. Puja krama. We have this concept of shruti phala, or phala shruti. The phala, the fruit of the shruti. You chant some prayer, or you chant some Gopal Sahasranam, and at the end, there's a whole section, it's even called Phal Shruti. So now you've chanted, you've glorified Gopal with 1,000 names. What do you get for it? What is the benefit you receive, or derive, from that rendering of service, of prartana, offering prayers? Then it says, if you chant this on a full moon, if you chant on an Ekadasi, you get this, you get that. If you don't have a child, if a woman doesn't have a child, if a couple doesn't have a child, and they chant this Gopal Sahasranam, then they will be blessed with a child. Acha, really? What was that prayer? Ladies write down Gopal Sahasranam. So these benedictions are there. So this seems to be the sequence of things. So also, when one does puja, or worship, then It's called sankalpa, or sankalpa means you take a resolve before you engage in an activity. You say, oh my Lord, I'm performing this austerity or puja. Actually, I have some motivation. I need your help or mercy or blessings. And then when you conclude, you ask. So the Lord has received all this glorification, all this worship from the devotees, and all this expressions of humility and respect and awe and reverence, Aishwarya. Now he's ready. Okay, the benediction treasure box is opened. I'm about to give benedictions. So they're all standing with folded hands. Shatapraharya bhave sarva jane jane amayaya prabhu kripa karina apane. During this Shatapraharya bhav, the Lord bestowed mercy on everyone without duplicity. Agya haila sridharere jatagya an asya dehukamora prakasha bhidan. Mahaprabhu said, quickly, and gave his agya. Go bring Sridhar. Let him come and behold my opulences. This is Kolavesha Sridhar. So apparently he wasn't there at that assembly, but the Lord is remembering him and wanting him to come and see this. Because you know the story of Kolavesha Sridhar. Kolavesha Sridhar, he was not a Brahmin, as I know. At any rate, his occupation was selling banana leaves. So it's doubtful that he was a Brahmin, because generally they weren't working on computers like nowadays. The Brahmins were engaged in Brahminical activities, studying or whatever. But I'm not sure. But at any rate, this is whom he is calling, the Kolavesha Sridhar, and he's not there in this particular event. But the Lord is remembering him and wanting him to witness this 21 hours, this manifestation of his opulence, or his Aishwarya Bhav, Praharya, this 21 hours Bhav of this Vaikuntha. Basically, Lord Chaitanya is manifesting Vaikuntha Bhav. He's a Mayapura Bhav. Mayapura is Audarya Leela, which is Madhurya Leela, basically. And Vaikuntha is another type of Leela. So Mayapura, turn Mayapura into Vaikuntha is like riding business class and going back to economy class. If you're in economy class, business class, you're not going to downgrade your ticket. No one downgrades their ticket, do they? You upgrade your ticket to go on a higher class. So now, Mayapur Dham, where Lord Chaitanya is usually in Shriva Sangam, in the Shant Leela, in the Astakali Leela of Mahaprabhu, when he's in Shriva Sangam in the evening kirtans, they start singing about Braj Leela and Radha Govinda's Ras Leela, and they start. Everyone assumes they're Brajbhav. Lord Chaitanya goes into Brajbhav as Krishna, Shamsundar, and Gadadhar goes into Brajbhav as Radharani, and they're dancing in the Sankirtan in the Ras Leela, Bhava Ras Leela. That's the general mood of Mayapur. But now it's like he's Vaikunthanath. This is a rare, it's an unusual thing. So he's downgraded his ticket from Braj Leela to Vaikuntha Leela. And that's right out of Nectar Instruction, right? Higher than Vaikuntha. What does it say in Nectar Instruction? Higher than Vaikuntha is Mathura. Higher than Mathura is what? Vrindavan, because of the Rasa Leela. And higher than Rasa Leela is Govardhan. And higher than Govardhan is Radhakund. Radhakund is the topmost place in the universe. So this, all of that is the same as Mayapur. Mayapur, there's also Radhakund, there's also Govardhan. Everything is there in Navadvip. So now it's becoming Vaikuntha? And that's an upgrade or a downgrade? It's a downgrade. I mean, it's Leela. I'm just giving you some idea. So Kolavesha Sridhar doesn't know anything about this Aishwarya, Maha Aishwarya Prakash Leela of Mahaprabhu. What does he know about Mahaprabhu? He knows he comes and steals my banana leaves. He's a thief. He's a chore. He's a Kela chore. He comes and steals my bananas. He gets together with one of his Brahmin buddies and they get some old cheddar. Two or four Brahmins get together. They cover themselves with a cheddar. And they come into my garden at night, about 12 o'clock at night under the full moon. And they have this big, great cheddar. And one Brahmin stands in the front like this, underneath the cheddar, and puts his fingers up. And that represents the two horns of the bull. And the other two guys are the four legs. And so when I look out my window, I see this bull moving in my banana patch. And then Nimai Pandit is ripping off all the bananas and giving them to the boys under the cheddar. So Nimai Pandit disguises himself underneath this chutter to steal my bananas. This is Vaikunthanath. This is Narayan. Sarvakarna Karnam, Maheshwaram. Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachin. This is the Maheshwaram. This guy, this pandit who's become a thief. So this is how the most intimate Naralila, human-like pastimes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shares with Kulaveshya's Tridhar. This is the Gora that he knows. All unlimited intimacy and sweetness. And then they bargain, they have arguments. Lord Chaitanya picks up a leaf plate when he goes to buy a leaf plate. Sridhar, how much is this? That is 1 rupee. Huh? Well, I give you 5 paisa. 5 paisa. It cost me 10. No, I'll give you 2. Listen, Nimai, I'll tell your father. you can't catch me. I'm not going to pay anything. Ha ha, bye. And he runs away with the leaf plate. This is regularly going on with Kulaveshya. And he loved it. He loved every minute of it. So Lord Chaitanya he's thinking, oh, call Sridhar, let him see me now. In other words, if my mother could only see me now. You know, some guy, his mother maybe died when he was 5, and later on, when he's 30 years old, he becomes an astronaut. And he's flying in outer space, 30,000 miles above the Earth, weightlessly floating around his spacecraft. And he's thinking, oh, if my mother could only see me now. She only knew me when I was a 5-year-old child, and then she died. But now I'm flying in the sky like an astronaut, or not. So Lord Chaitanya is thinking, well, look, come and see me now, Sridhar. He'll be stupefied and amazed. Oh, this is a saint. Oh, I didn't realize that little thief of my bananas, he used to bargain so vigorously. I mean, he would make any Punjabi look like nothing in the marketplace. I mean, Punjabis think they're good dealers and they go to buy something. They try to Jew down the guy to the lowest price. If he asks you for 5 rupees, you try to get it for 2. What to speak about Sindhis? They try to get it for 0.5 rupee. So Lord Chaitanya was like that, and when he was bargaining with Kulaveshya Sridhar used to sometimes fold his hands in great humility. You have to understand, he's like 40 years older than Nimai, right? He's like an old man. Sridhar is folding his hands. He says, Nimai, please, I beg you, I'm just trying to get a few paisa to worship Mother Ganga. Half of everything I spend I use for worshipping my mother Ganga, and the other half I feed my wife and children. Please, I'm only asking for a couple of paisa. Why are you arguing over every half a paisa? So this was their leela, the Nimai Pandit and Kulaveshya. So then he wants him to come and see this. Oh, let him see this. Prakash Asya Dehukamora Prakasha Bidhan Niravari Bhave More Bharadukapan Asya Dehukamore Jatta Anagya. Mahaprabhu says, as he constantly thinks of me, he feels great unhappiness. Bring him at once so he may see my glories. Nagarera antegya takiha vasya je more takaye tareya niha dharya. Mahaprabhu said, go to the edge of town and wait there. Bring that person who is calling out my name. Daila Vaishnavagan Prabhura Vachan Agyalai Ghelatwara Shidara Bhavan. Following Mahaprabhu's order, a group of Vaishnavas rushed to the house of Sridhar. Se Sridharera Kichu Shunaha Akyan Kolahara Pasarakari Rakki Nijapran. Now hear the topics about Sridhar. Oh, I guess I gave a small preview. I mean, I didn't pre-read this at all, but I have read this Chaitanya Bhagavat a few times, and now it's coming. So now here are the topics about Sridhar. He earned his livelihood by selling banana leaves. Ek bhara kolagachi kiniya anaya khani khani kari taha khatiya vechaya. He would buy 1 banana tree, cut it into pieces, and then sell those pieces.
Tahate je kichuhai, divase upai, tara arda gangara, naivedya lagi jai.
He offered half of whatever he earned in a day in worship of the Ganges.
Ardeke sudhaya haya nija prana raksha, e matahaya vishnu bhaktira pariksha.
With the other half, he maintained his life. This is the test of a devotee of Vishnu.
Vishnu bhakta pariksha. Pariksha.
So this is where we hear Rupa Goswami is telling us, which is more maybe familiar to us than the pastimes of Kolavacha Sridhar. But in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Rupa Goswami retired from active service in the government of the Muslim magistrate, then he was rewarded quite gorgeously or fabulously with all kinds of gold coins. And then he dispersed his wealth in a particular way, as most people know. He gave 50% for the service of Krishna. Means Brahmins means service of Krishna. And the other for family and himself and the merchants. So Prabhupada cites this example, and this is further praman here in this Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's Chaitanya Bhagavat is Bhagavat Puran. Bhagavat Praman and Bhagavat Praman. In the Bhagavat Mahatmyam itself, it says that Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalagyanam Pramanam. This is the Amalagyan. It is pure knowledge and it is Praman. It is evidence. It is solid evidence. Irrefutable and undefeatable evidence for the Absolute Truth. So as the Srimad Bhagavatam has that characteristic, so does the Chaitanya Bhagavat, because it's written by the same author. Vedavyas is in fact, Vrindavan Das Thakur. So Prabhupada takes the nectar devotional example and says, yes, members of the Krishna consciousness movement, they should do like this also. Half of their income, 50% of their income, they should give to the utilize for the service of Krishna. So that's one example. Now we have another example from Chaitanya Bhagavat of the life of Kolavacha Sridhar, which we have just heard. The 50% of his income from selling banana leaves, he donated utilized for the worship of Ganga. And the other 50% he used for his family. So he was living in a very... So you get an interesting example here. Rupa Goswami Pad, he had millions and millions of dollars. He had boatloads full of gold coins. And he gave 50% of his income was given to the Brahmins, which means to Krishna. And that meant millions of dollars. Now on the other side, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, you have another individual, Grihastha, Kolavacha Sridhar, he's also exemplifying the same principle. He's also giving 50% of his income on a daily basis. But he's a pauper. It means a poor person. Daridra. One's a dhani, one's a daridra. Rupa Goswami's a dhani and Sridhar is a daridra. So daridra, but the principle is the same. So this is what we want to learn from these two examples. The principle is, here's the principle. The detail may vary according to circumstance, kala, desha, and patra. The principle is that these Vaishnavas, one was very poor and just had an old broken iron cup he was drinking water from, but he employed the principle, 50% of whatever I get, I will worship my Ishtadev. I will worship Ma Ganga. Ma Ganga is Krishna's energy, is Krishna's Charanamrita. So he was spending 50% in worship of Ma Ganga. And he was poor, so his 50% represented 1 rupee, 1 paisa, 150 anna, or whatever, all these small measurements of money in those days. And Rupa Goswami, his 50%, the principle, his employing a 50% engaged in Krishna's service was millions of dollars. So this is an interesting point, and Prabhupada often says this. Of course, practically nowadays, it's impossible. It's not practical nowadays, somehow or other. If you get 50% of your net income, then you might as well donate your wife too. Because the first time you give 50% paycheck to the temple, your wife will be the next donation. She says, look, I'm out of here. I can't exist on this few pennies that's left. If you can give 10%, then you're a great hero. And then probably in a few years from now, we'll be sitting here saying, if you can give anything... If you can give anything of your income, then it'll be most appreciated. Your donations will be gladly accepted. So he was heroic in charity. This term in nectar devotion is called Dhanavir. Danavira means to be heroic in charity, giving sumptuously. And this is the Vishnu Bhakta Pariksha. As according to Vedavyas Vrindavanas Thakur, Vishnu Bhakta Pariksha. This is the test of a Vishnu Bhakta. Are you giving half of your income to Krishna? This is the verse. Ardeka, Ardeka Saudhaya, Haya Nija Pran Raksha, E Mattahaya Vishnu Bhaktera Pariksha. With the other half, Sridhar maintained his life. And the first verse, he spent half in the worship, the daily worship of Ganga. This is the test of a devotee of Vishnu. Now, Vrindavan Das Thakur is continuing the thread of the story. He's telling the story. Lord Chaitanya is not speaking. This is Vrindavan Das Thakur describing the Mahima, or the Vaishnava Mahima of Sridhar. Firstly, the juncture of the story, for those who came late, is that Lord Chaitanya is in Srivas Thakur's house showing his Mahabhava Prakash, 21 hours of ecstatic Aishwarya Bhav. This is Aishwarya Bhav, he's in the mood of Vaikunthanath, and letting all the devotees know clearly and absolutely that he alone is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikunthanath. So they're worshipping him with all grandeur and opulence. And now he's calling, please, call Sridhar, Kulaveshwar Sridhar, let him see me now. In other words, he knows me as a banana stealer, stealer of bananas. He doesn't know me as Vaikunthanath. He doesn't know me as Virat Rup. He doesn't know me as Das Avatar. He doesn't know me as all these. So call him. Let him witness this. So then there's an interlude in the story. There's an interlude where because Lord Chaitanya is speaking that. Yes, someone go quickly, call Kulavesha. Go to the edge of town and call him. Go find that person who is at the edge of town calling out my name. Gora, 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 Gora. Because he was there. He wasn't there in that assembly in Srivas Thakur's house. He was just crying day and night, Gora, Gora, because his heart was stolen. Not only were his bananas, not only were his bananas stolen by Nimai Pandit, but most importantly, his pran was stolen. Pranachur. There's Kailachur, Pranachur. So stealing Kala, that's nothing, but stealing pran, that's a serious crime. It's a very serious crime if you steal someone's pran. Samaste? Jiha? Maji? Pran, if you steal someone's heart, that's a very grave crime against a person. One sannyasi, he was traveling once in the West, and he said, I have not come here to collect money. I have not come here to take anything from you, but I have only come here to steal your hearts. I want to sprinkle your hearts with Harikata, and I want to steal your hearts and offer them to Radha and Krishna. It's a very nice concept. So we can only pray for the day when our hearts could become stolen. Will become, when oh when, kada, 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 kada. Kada means when will that day come? Kada kurishya siyamam kripa kataksha bhajanam. Right? Munindravinda vandite chiloka shoka harani prasana vakcha pankajani kunja buvilasani prajenda bananandani prajenda sunasangate kada kurishya siyamam kripa kataksha bhajanam nikunjanivasini radhika. Oh, Nikunjanivasini, you're always residing in the beautiful Nikunjas of Braj. Will you ever glance just once? Not even a full-on, straight-on glance, eye-to-eye. I'm not asking for eye-to-eye contact. I'm asking for kripa kataksha. 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 Just a corner of one eye. Just one corner of one eye falls upon me, then I will be delivered once and for all. So this is the mood of the devotees. So the Lord is calling for Sridhar, and now Vrindavan Das Thakur. So then if you're reading the storyline, you'll say, well, who is Sridhar? And why is Lord Chaitanya calling out for Sridhar? He's surrounded by all his most confidential and intimate associates. Isn't that enough? What more? Oh, someone's missing. Call Sridhar. And everyone says, who's he? Of course, most people know who he is, because everyone's buying banana leaves and bananas. Especially Brahmins are buying banana trees all the time for puja and yajna, etc. Mangala Drishti. It creates a Mangala Vastu to have this Kela and the Jagya arena. It's a requirement, actually. So now we're hearing about his glories, the Mahima, the great glories of the Lord. Bhagavat. Bhagavat. Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Bhagavat. It means the glories of Chaitanya, but God is not alone. He's always with his devotees. Sangha. So we hear the Bhagavatam is the glories of Bhagavan. And of course his devotees. Like what is a woman without ornaments? And this is the embellishment of a woman. Is it gold? Is that all these ornaments? That's her beauty, or increases or enhances her beauty. What is the beauty of Bhagavan without the sarubhushanam? The sarubhushanam. Bhushanam means the ornament. The ornaments of the devotees are the devotees. That makes the Lord more embellished and beautiful. So we're hearing about the great glories. Now what is Vrindavan? Now we hear how frugal he is, how dedicated he is, how renounced he is, to give up 50% of his income for Ganga Puja every day. Now let's hear some more qualities of a great devotee. These are the qualities. Vishnu Bhakta Pariksha. If you want to examine, Pariksha means to examine. Oh, let's examine you. You go to the doctor, he examines you. Oh, you have this problem, that problem. Or in Ayurveda, they take your hand. It's called Nadi. Nadi Pariksha, isn't it? Nadi Pariksha. Oh, your liver's congested. And your husband's angry with you. No, they don't tell you that. They can tell you about your body, but not about your heart. So if you want to examine what is Vishnu Bhakta? What makes him tick? What does he think? How does he act? What does he do? Well, this is he works. He works. What does he do with his money when he works? He earns an income and a profit. What does he do with his money? Well, he maintains his family. Well, I do that too. I maintain my family. Yes, you maintain your family with every paisa and pie. But he maintains his family with half his income. Acha? You mean his wife lets him get away with the other half? His wife lets him get away with the other half of the income? She doesn't take the full income? No. The other half of his income, he worships the Ganga. Oh, well, that's different. Because I'm not a Vishnu Bhakta. I'm a devotee of my wife. I'm a Patni Bhakta. So my Patni clears out the whole account. I bring, every week I bring 15,000 rupees home, or 20,000, and I hand it to her, and Haribo. Say goodbye, it's gone. So now what's another quality of the examine a devotee? Mahasatya Vadi Teno Jaina Yudhisthir Jaraje Mulyabale Nahaya Bahir Sridhar, Kulavesha Sridhar, was as truthful as Maharaj Yudhisthir. Mahasatya Vadi. Satyavad. Vad means speech. Vad. Mahasatyavad. He was completely topmost exponent of truth. It's even told, if someone can imagine how difficult it is, especially in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, this is the age of untruth, and this person is living 500 years ago. Kali Yuga is running full on. 500 years ago, Kali Yuga is on. But he is being glorified as Maha Satya Vadi. He's being compared to Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira is a Nityaparishad of Vishnu, Vaikunthanath, in the spiritual world. And Yudhisthira was like a prehistoric animal. He's living thousands of years ago. He's living 4,500 years ago before Kulavesha Sridhar. 4,500 years ago, predating Kulavesha Sridhar, which was at the very end of Dwapara Yuga, where there were still some godly qualities, at least 50%. Kali Yuga was just on the onset. And he was being famous, he was so truthful. His chariot never touched the ground. Everyone hears about the greatness of his truth, Yudhisthira. He was stira in fighting. He was very fixed, Yudhisthira. He was very fixed, immovable in his vow to fight or in his determination to fight. Yudhisthira. But he's also Satyasthira. He was very immovable in his determination to tell the truth in any circumstance. Even God is asking him to lie, he says, forget it. God, you're telling me to lie. I won't lie. You have to make some adjustment. Ashwatthama, the elephant. is dead. So many people were truthful. But now Kali Yuga, 4,500 years later, in Navadvipa, in Bengal, and what to speak of now, he's being known as Mahasatyavadi, Satyavad. He's being compared, Kolaveshu Sridhar, is he a Kshatriya? Is he of royalty and nobility? A Panch Pandava? Glorious, illustrious person, such a hero, such an exalted person with so many... No, he's a banana, he sells bananas. What is he? He's like a Mali. I'm not sure if he's a Brahmin, maybe he's a Brahmin, I can't remember, but he's posing, at least posing as a Mali, and Yudhisthira was not posing as a Mali. You know what a Mali is? Right? Mali, gardener, Mali, is that right? So, Yudhisthira Maharaj was not posing. Posing means showing himself as a gardener. But this Mali is being compared to Maharaj Yudhisthira. That's not a small time thing. This is very serious. And each verse of this Bhagavatam, this is the Bhagavatam. Of course, there's no particular purport here, but that's, we're speaking something what we can understand. That it's amazing that Kolaveshu Sridhar is being compared. Then he never deviated from whatever price he fixed. Mulya. It's like the Gita Press books. They used to write the price on the front of the books with 15 or 20. Then people would scratch it out and make 20, 30, 20 into 30. Then they caught the idea. Don't write it in a number. Write it by words. Tis rupya. Pachis rupya. Mulya. Pachis rupya. They used to write 50 rupees on the book. And then the bookseller would take his pen and write 60. He would turn the 5 into a 6 or into an 8. And he said, how much is this book? Oh, this is Gita Press, fixed price, 80 rupees. And you look at it and say, it looks like you did something to this. So his price on his bananas was fixed. He didn't, it was a fixed, this was the origin of the fixed price shop, which you must have heard about, especially if you go to Loy Bazaar. If you go to Loy Bazaar and try to bargain, you'll have no luck. They'll have a sign. See, look, fixed price. See? So he had a fixed price banana shop. Madhya madhya yevet jana tara tatvajani tahara vachani matra dravyakani kine. Sometimes those who knew the glories of Sridhar would buy his goods without bargaining. So some that recognized that he was a great Vishnu Bhakta and he's using half his money for Ganga Puja said, well, let it be. I feel happy to give my money to this devotee because he'll use it for a good cause. And we also have that feeling. If we know some devotee's running a business and he's a virtuous person and a good devotee, we'll be happy to patronize him. So the devotees were doing the same thing with Sridhar. They were buying his products and happy to do it. And they didn't bargain. They said, oh, take it, enjoy. Or well, not enjoy, but you know, use it for service. But the point I missed to say before is that Mahasatyavadi, I said it's very difficult in Kali Yuga to maintain a truthfulness. In fact, it's a challenge that any husband can challenge his wife. I propose this challenge for any grihastha. He can challenge his wife. He said, I challenge you. Can you tell the truth for 24 hours? It's kind of a joke. Ladies aren't laughing. He said, look, I give you in 24 hour period, can you pass 24 hours without telling one lie, white lie, black, green, yellow, any different color lie? to lie is natural. Especially, and now everyone lies in Kali Yuga. Like Chanaka Pandit says in Niti Shastra, he says you should never trust a woman or a politician. So women, they get, oh, this is very bad, this is chauvinistic. This Chanaka Pandit is a great chauvinist. He's picking on us and just me, us and politicians. But wait, my dear ladies, don't get excited. Don't start gnashing your teeth. Gnashing your teeth means grinding your teeth. Don't start grinding your teeth in anger. Because you have to remember, in Kali Yuga, every man is a politician. So what does that mean? Don't trust anybody. Because Chanaka Pandit said, niti means the rule. This is the rules of the game, folks. This is the game rules. This is how the game works. These are game rules. Niti Shastra. Prabhupada said he was a good philosopher. He didn't recognize Chanakya as some great spiritual hero or Mahajan. He's certainly not a Mahajan. He said he was a good philosopher. He was a very wise person. Very wise counselor for Emperor Chandragupta. He said, never trust a woman or a politician. Oh, that means don't trust anybody. So, if you can tell the truth for 12 years, every day, every hour, every minute, then what will you receive by that tapasya, that maha tapasya? Vagsiddhi. You'll get the power that whatever you say will come true. This is a very powerful thing. This is from telling the truth for 12 years. So that's why Brahmins have power. That's why people used to go to Brahmins and ask for blessings. Or they used to say, listen, can you think about our situation? Will our son get a visa to America and start an illustrious medical career there and send crores of rupees back home to Delhi for we, his old retired parents? So they asked the Brahmin, he'll think, yes, it will happen. And if he says that, it will happen. Krishna will make sure it happens, because Krishna backs the Brahmins. Dhamo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Taisha. But where are those Brahmins? They're politicians, so they're liars. Can't be trusted. So therefore, when Brahmins, you go to Radhakund, for example, and the Pandas are there, and they harass you and your wife or something. Oh, you give a donation, and you give 5 rupees. Hey, what is this? You're coming from Delhi, the capital, you're giving 5 rupees. I curse your wife to have 7 daughters. They say like this. I live there, I've heard them. And the wife goes, oh, Pati, Prabhu, give him 100 rupees, quick. And then the guy, oh, okay, and they give 100 rupees. And then as soon as the couple walks away trembling and shivering, oh boy, we were saved from having 7 daughters. Then the Brahmins walk back. They're just laughing. It's just a big, what we call in colloquial, or let's say slang in English, a spoof. They're spoofing on everyone. They're hoodwinking everyone. Because they have zero power to curse anyone. They can't even curse themselves. And they have practically zero power to bless anyone, because it goes together. But if in fact they do, and they may, there may be, everywhere there's also very powerful Brahmins and Rishis, if they follow this Satyavatam, this is Maha Satyavadi, this great vow, then they get such power. And even Vaishnavas, because nowadays we can't speak about the whole gamut of sadhus, but any sadhus or holy men or ladies for that matter that observe this one principle. Satyam is only one principle of Dharma. What are the other three? Satyam Dayam Shocham Tapam. Right? So in English, mercy, cleanliness, austerity, and truthfulness, right? MCAT for those note takers. MCAT. MCAT. No Billy? Meow. So when you go to college, you have to have keys to learn everything. Oh, what are the 4 religious principles? Oh, MCAT. Oh, MCAT. What's MCAT? Oh, M. Mercy. Oh, C. Cat. Cleanliness. A. Austerity. Oh, T. Truthfulness. MCAT. You know. So I went to medical school for 6 years. So you really have to cram a lot of garbage in there. So it's helpful when you come in the devotional line. So Satyam, see the power of one religious quality if you exemplify it to its fullest extent, how much power you have. So in ISKCON, Prabhupada established a movement based on these principles. Because by following the 4 regular principles, what happens? Automatically you become merciful, you become clean, austere, and truthful. And if you really live according to the edicts and the laws and rules of ISKCON, the members of ISKCON become very, very powerful individuals. Very powerful. Because they always tell the truth. And if they're in ISKCON for 10 years and 20 years and 30 years, and very clean, you see the sannyasis or grihasthas, whomever, anyone, doesn't matter the varna, but they're bathing twice, thrice a day, changing clothes, chanting anik, And Gayatri, chanting their mantra, doing puja, and living proper life as grihastha, brahmachari, sannyasa, whatever. They have very much power. They don't even know it. It's like Hanuman. Trio. I can jump, I don't know. Everybody's jumping, and Jambavan said he's too old, and this one said that, and then someone remembered, I don't remember, but gee, me? Hey, Hanuman, remember, you can actually do it. Oh, me? Okay, boing! And he jumped to Lanka, because he had temporarily forgotten his power, being the son of Vayu and whatever, Agni or whatever it was, the son of Vayu and Agni. Vayu and Agni. If you're the sum total of Vayu and Agni, you can certainly have a lot of power. So, we don't know. Devotee doesn't know his power. And he certainly doesn't want to boast his power or advertise his power. Dainya. Our bhav is not pratishtha bhav, it's dainya bhav. But it is a fact. When devotees say something, it does come true. We've practically seen that many devotees, it's not that you have to be some maha mega jagat guru to have this Vag city. Grihastha Brahman can have Vag city. A chaste sati, a chaste wife can have Vag city. The power of course, that may be a little difficult. But if you can find a chaste wife that's been honest for 12 years, she may be chaste, and that's very good. But the honesty principle. But they get power. So this, I just wanted to mention that as a side point. That devotees I've seen in ISKCON, and devotees have told me, they said, this one sannyasi, he told me this would happen, and it happened. And of course, they don't advertise. But if somebody has that power in Delhi, they usually live by the railroad tracks or something. They put up a sign, tantric this that, 100 rupees. And people go there to get some kind of blessings and power. And actually, Vaishnavas, who are following all the tantric principles, but white tantric, not black tantric, they have so much power. But we use it all for guru seva. We don't flaunt our power and go around giving blessings. Oh, pass your examinations and make predictions. Yes, you'll get married in 2 years. But sometimes when devotees are really in distress, then they give blessings. I know I can just give some examples. These are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. One Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasi, a couple approached him. And they were not initiated. And they said, we've been married for 8 years and we don't have any children. And he said, all right, he said, if you get a child, will you promise that you'll train that devotee as a Vaishnava? And that he'll live pure Vaishnava principles, no onion and garlic. And these people were vegetarians, but they ate onions and garlic. And all these types. And they said, yes, we so much want a child. We tried X, Y, Z, everything. He said, all right, I bless you, you have a son. And they had a son. Another lady, she was in the movies. And she was a Brahmin, South Indian Brahmin. And she was very famous in these South movies out of Hyderabad. Hyderabad produces a lot of movies for the Telugu, that whole circuit down there, because they really like the movies down there. Bombay, Calcutta, and Hyderabad, they make most of the movies, I think so. You know better than me. I've never seen one. But so she was absorbed in her acting career and became very famous, very wealthy, very beautiful, and now she's 30 years old. She's a Brahmin. And believe it or not, she's chaste. And been in all the kinds of regular modern movies, which are seemingly not very chaste environment. But due to her samskaras, purva samskaras, she's always been following the principles. So no one can believe it. So her parents are trying to arrange a marriage. First of all, she's too old. And second of all, the career. So no Brahmin will give their son to such a person. The lady was very much distressed, and her parents came and they met this sannyasi, friend of ours. And she's not devotee initiated, at least officially following, but they're Brahmins and they're pure behavior and they worship some Shatna Gopal. And he heard her story and he said, listen, you want to become a devotee? And she's like interested a little bit in Krishna, and she said, if I can get married, proper marriage, I'd definitely dedicate my life, because I'm going to quit this movie industry anyway now to get married. I'd definitely dedicate my life and my family to Krishna's service. So the sannyasi blessed her. He said, you'll be married next year in November. And that was like a year before. And then she called him and said, guess what, I'm engaged, I'm getting married in November. So, and then of course then she'll follow up. So the idea is that devotees do have power, but it should not be very carefully and judiciously used for the service of Krishna, not to get to show off, or not to get name and fame or pratishta, or not to make money, but only for seva, to benefit others, parakara upakara, for welfare work, not to increase your prestige, and people come and, oh, he's a famous this, that. It's all done very secretly and privately, but I'm pretty aware of these type of things. So this is one point, that Sridhar was such a person. E mata navadvipe achi mahashai kolavesha gyanakari kehanachanai. In this way, Kolavesha Sridhar resided in Navadvip. No one recognized him, for everyone thought that he was simply a banana seller. There's a popular expression, you cannot judge a book by its cover. So cover means sense perception. And Krishna is a hoksaja, and only a hoksaja gyan can reveal Bhagavan tattva and Vaishnav tattva. Can only be, they are aparishaya, they are transcendental entities. The Vaishnava and Bhagavan, they are transcendental. They are spiritual personalities exhibiting spiritual behavior and attributes. And they are beyond our calculation. They are beyond our measurement. And they are beyond our perception. Only by hearing from Shastras. So no one knew, oh, he's a banana seller. And he does some Ganga Puja. Maybe not many people even knew that. For example, I'll give you an example. We lived 3 years in Sevakunj, in Prabhupada's rooms doing Seva there. In 1989 to 92, they used to have sannyasis stay there and do Seva. Now they have changed the system, although that was Prabhupada's desired system, but somehow it didn't come to pass right now. It's a different system. And there, living there, I got to learn about the private life of the Loy Bazaar businessmen. Because when you go to Loy Bazaar and you interact with the Mukutwalas, Sariwalas and Dotiwalas, Tulsiwalas, Falwalas and Sweetwalas, the various dukans in Loy Bazaar, sometimes you walk away with a sour taste in your mouth. Hey, this guy ripped me off, or this guy, too much money, overcharged, he's such a tiger in the business place. And we may have this kind of idea that he's not a very good person. We may think badly, or even speak badly about the person. But we don't know anything about his private life. That's business. And business people show different characters sometimes. Business is like that. But I, by circumstance, I got to find out about the private lives of a lot of the famous walas of Loy Bazaar, because they also live right around the area of Shamsundar Temple and Damodar Temple. And I came to know that they are extremely devoted, they're extremely deep and dedicated and sincere devotees of Radha and Krishna. When I first came to India in 1977, and I interacted with them, and for a few years afterwards, I never had the impression that they were anything but paisawalas. I thought they were 100% Agarwals. Agarwals are only into money and comfort, usually. But these Brijbasi Agarwals are a different breed. They're Vaishnavas. They're pure Vaishnavas. So dedicated. And then the Kartik month comes. Kartik month. They're coming every morning to Mangalartik and Damodar. They're chanting stutis. They're doing 108 parikramas at the temple every day before they go to the dukan. And so much puja and pot they do. So, and I was judging the cover by sense perception. I was saying, oh, he's a businessman. He's just a cutthroat businessman. But actually, he's a devotee. So no one knew Sridhar. They didn't know that he was such a great devotee, such an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. So now Lord Chaitanya is going to announce that to the world, that yes, he is my dear one. He is my Priya, as Krishna says in Gita. He will become my dear one. He uses this word many times. I gave a class in Ravindra's house, Priyaji in the Bhagavad Gita. I described in all the, there's several verses in Bhagavad Gita where the word Priya is used. So I explained about this. It's called Priyaji. And anyway, you have to hear the tape. about Radharani, how Krishna is remembering Priyaji. And he's saying, anyone who has these qualities, these wonderful devotional qualities, he becomes very dear to me. Then another chapter, anyone who has these qualities, he becomes very dear to me. This word is Priya. So if you summarize all those qualities are exemplified in the perfect form, in the personification, in the embodiment of Srimati Radharani. She is that ideal Priya Bhakta of Krishna. So we are describing this. So we should learn from this verse we have to be careful about judging the cover. Today's Bhakta is tomorrow's Guru. Now we're in a Bhakta program with so-and-so, and then 30, 40 years later, he's a Jagat Guru, world acharya. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai.